We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this evening. Preston has got a class on Sunday mornings about part of this. And right now we're studying about angels. But he's going to talk about not only angels, but he's also going to talk about evil forces that we have in the realm. And so I asked him a couple Sundays ago, maybe last Sunday, he was doing the who is causing the problem and the what is causing the problem. And I had a sermon I put together for Pahrump a month or two ago on how do we protect ourselves from the problem, which is putting on the full armor of God. So anyway, between he and I, we're going to talk about the things that are happening that we need to know about and how to protect ourselves from them. Before I get into the actual lesson tonight, I actually had titled this lesson, What Kind of Protection Do You Have? Thinking that it might generate some thought process as one looked at the title. Because a lot of times when we talk about protection, as we sit in here and we know God and we know who God is, we think about God, but most people would not think of God when you say, where's your protection? I drive around neighborhoods, used to sell security systems. And you drive around neighborhoods and there's little signs out in front of a lot of yards. And the theory behind it is to protect your home so that it doesn't get broken into. Or if it does get broken into, the police would respond quick enough to catch whoever is there so you don't lose your stuff. But those of you that have those systems, me, one that sold these systems on a part-time kind of a basis, knew full well they're not fail-proof. A little clip of a wire, you can just disconnect phones. There's all kinds of things you can do to disconnect and disrupt that kind of a service. So even though it kind of gives us a little bit of peace of mind, it's still not a fail-proof situation. We look at automobiles, those of us that are a little older in life, back in the 50s and 60s, we had cars. We didn't have seat belts and we didn't have all the stuff that's on the cars today. And if you look at something built back in the 50s as to what's built today and look at safety features that we have, it's a whole night and day situation. Today's automobiles have airbags in the doors and in the dash, and we've got seat belts, and we've got all kinds of stuff on these cars to protect us. We maintain our automobiles. We make sure we have good tires on the car. We make sure the engine runs properly. We make sure the transmission works good. And we do all those things for our protection so that when we get in that automobile and take off somewhere, we feel safe. But as safe as we can feel in all of that, all of those things I just mentioned on an automobile can have flaws. It's not fail-proof. We have credit cards. We have bank accounts. We have different things that we can do to safeguard these accounts. We can put protection on the accounts. The credit card companies have all kinds of things that they use that puts protection on your accounts. The banks do the same thing. However, on occasion, you'll get a credit card that gets hacked. Somebody else wants to use your credit. I don't know how many of you it's happened to. It's happened to me a couple different times. Thankfully, I've got a credit card company that handles that, takes care of it. Usually they call me and say, your credit card's been shut down. We've detected something going on. But as much protection as you can put on that bank account or put on those credit card accounts, it's still not fail-proof. We go to the doctor. And those of us are getting a little older. The older we get, it seems like the more doctors we get to see. Hugh's laughing. It's true. You know, we've got an ailment for this. We've got an ailment for that. Sometimes we just go in for a checkup, make sure everything is okay. But as much as that doctor can do, as much as a surgeon can do, as much as we go for checkups to make sure everything is okay, there's nothing that doctor can say or do that makes our health fail-proof. It can be had at any time, for lack of a better word. Cancer can strike us. Heart attacks can strike us. Strokes. Any amount of different things. Because we don't know what's going to happen. we can protect ourselves to a point. We can do the things the doctor asks us to do. We can take the right medicines. We can do all these things. But all that is not fail-proof. We see police in the neighborhoods, on the streets. They patrol everywhere. I was going to look this up, but I think the number here in Las Vegas is like, there's like one policeman for every like 1,200 people. I think that's a number that's pretty accurate. So if you think about that, and the police are there to protect us, and we thank them for protecting us, we appreciate the work that they do for us. But as much as they do for us and all the protection that they give us, they can't be everywhere all the time. So that protection can only go out so far. And with that being said, even though we feel safer because we have a police force in this town, it's not fail-proof. It doesn't protect us 24/7 because they can't be everywhere all the time. In our homes, in our businesses, we have door locks. We have door locks here. It seems like there's a door lock everywhere. They're on the cars, they're on the buildings, everywhere you look. There's a lock. Well, we lock that up so that somebody that we don't want in there can't get in. Then you see somebody come along with a little ice picky thing and they go in there, 10 seconds, they're inside. So even as much protection as we can put on a building, as much protection as we put on our home with the security systems and the door locks and all the things we do, none of it's fail-proof. If somebody wants in, they're going to find their way in. And we talk about all these things, and, you know, the list can go on and on and on as to what we use in our everyday lives for protection. And I don't care what you list in a worldly way or in a manly made thing, I don't care what you list or what you talk about, there's nothing fail-proof for safety. Nothing. The full protection, the fail-proof protection is God. That we can rely on. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We know that we have the protection of Him. We know His word is good. Now, when Paul talks about, and we're going to start in verse 10 here in chapter 6. And I'm just going to read the first two or three verses because that's what Preston's covering. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." That's what Preston's class is based around. So I'm not going to go there. And part of that reason I'm not going there is because I really don't understand. That's why I'm in his class. I'm trying to figure out what this is. I'm trying to figure out, Preston talked this morning about there being an organization of these things, as you would have in a company. And it's really interesting to break this down. I've read this and I've studied this passage many different times. And I've never looked at this the way that I look at it now with the information that I have from class. I didn't realize when I was talking about principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, I didn't realize what all this meant, and I still don't. But if you're not attending Preston's class, you need to. He's really opening some doors as to what all this means. Now, you go into verse 13, Paul goes on now, and he says to this church in Ephesus, he says, "Therefore," all these things going on, okay? He says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So he's saying here, you need to put an armor on. You need to put protection on. You need to be able to withstand what's going to happen in the end, because you've done everything you can do to do that, you will withstand it. That's what he's saying here. Now, if you just mentioned to someone, again, we know what we're talking about because we're sitting in here, but if someone just said, you have to put on some armor, you got to be protected. The thing that comes to my mind is like the gladiators, is that the right name? Okay. They had the metal hat on, and they had a metal breastplate on, and they had the big shield out here and the sword out here, and and stuff on their legs and special boots on their feet. They had the full armor on. That was their armor of protection. We see policemen and firemen and soldiers today. They all have what they call gear. You look at a fireman and he has a special suit that he puts on before he can go in and wrestle with a fire. They have oxygen tanks. They have all this protection to help them not get injured or get hurt when they go into a burning building. SWAT teams have the big thing out in front of them. I mean, they get into a real bad situation. They've got all kinds of protection around them. And yet every once in a while, a stray bullet will get to them. Every once in a while, that fireman, a hose will break on his oxygen or something will happen to the suit and they get a puncture and we lose one. So all this gear, Gladiators is the same way. All this gear and all this protection all these people use is good, and it's as good as what man can do, but none of that is fail-proof. So as we look at this passage tonight, and we look at what Paul's telling us, it's a different armor that we put on with God than what a gladiator or a policeman or a fireman might use, or a soldier. Okay, so let's start. Paul says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You're going to have enough armor on yourself. You're going to have enough protection from God that you're going to be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done everything you can do in order to stand. And in verse 14, he says, stand therefore. Now we're going to start getting in to what this armor of God is. And when I studied this and put this together for prep, it used to be kind of a difficult thing for me, but when I separated everything out, it became very simple and very easy for me to figure out what this armor of God is. So he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Okay, that's the first thing you got to do. You've got to know the truth. Now, the gird goes around your waist. It's a protection. Okay? So truth is the number one thing. Where does this truth come from? It comes from God's written word. So the Bible becomes part of this gird that you're going to protect yourself with. That's where the truth comes from. And then it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. All right, what does righteousness mean? Just break it down. It means right living. Righteous living is living with what God has told us to do. It's obedience to God. All right? So, right now, what you've done is you've studied, you've learned the truth, you've got the Bible. That's the gird around your waist. The Bible has led you to lead a righteous life because you believe what you're reading, and God's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. So now, if you will, you've got the metal breastplate. So you've got the gird around your waist. You've got the metal breastplate. But what happens if you stop there? Your head's still out. Your arms are still out. Your feet, your legs, everything's still out in the open, right? So we can't stop here. When you're talking about putting on the full armor, we can't stop here by just doing and reading and studying God's word. It takes more than that. Verse 15, Paul says now, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, so further study, further preparation with the gospel of peace. That's going to put the armor on the bottoms of your feet, on the bottoms of your legs. So now you got what the gladiators or soldiers or whoever might have, you've got steel-toed boots on. You got the protection now for your feet. Okay? So here's the simplicity of this so far. We've got the Bible. We believe what the Bible says. We've girded ourselves around. We're now living a righteous life. And now we've got the protection on our feet because of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, Paul says, now above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now the wicked one being Satan. The darts. Most of us have thrown darts at different times. Throw darts at the board. You go, boom, and they stick. You go back to the Indians with their arrows. Phew, they stick. Fiery darts that stick. Fiery darts that will take away what you know about God, will take away what you believe. It will take you down a path you don't want to go. The fiery darts of the evil one. So with the shield of faith, okay, now faith is a whole nother ballgame. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Okay, now there's different ways to hear the word of God. We can hear it as we're hearing it now. Or you can go home and open up the Bible and let God talk to you through his living word. But that's how you gain faith. So, as we look at it so far, we've got the gird around our belt. We've got the Bible. We believe what we've read. We've got the righteous, because we believe what we read, we now can live the righteous life. So, we've got the breastplate. With the gospel of peace, we can now shod our feet. So now we got some pretty decent protection going on, don't we? We got our feet covered up, got the breastplate covered up, we got the gird around our belt, and we got the shield out here so we can fend off bullets and darts. Here it says fiery darts. We still don't have anything to protect our head. We still don't have that full armor of God. So as we look at this, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, take the helmet of salvation. Okay? The helmet of salvation. How are you going to reach salvation? You reach it with all the things we've talked about. You reach it by the word of God. You reach it by studying. You reach it by knowing and understanding what you're reading. You reach it through the blood that was shed by Christ on the cross. And that's all taught to us through the word. So we're beginning to get this full armor. We're just about there. Take the helmet of salvation. Okay? Once you've reached that point, once you've accepted Christ, once you've been baptized, once you've touched his blood in the watery grave and you've come up new, to reach your salvation, you now have a helmet. So you got the gird around the belt, you got the breastplate, you got the shield, you got the things on your feet. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay? So we have salvation. We now have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So now here we are. We've got this. You know, go back to the gladiator for a second. We all know what they are. You got the thing over your head. You got the breastplate. You've got the sword. You've got the shield. You've got the things on the bottom of your feet. So now, if you do all of this, you've got the full armor of God. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Okay, so what does all this entail? What is required of us? We need to be obedient. We need to understand what God is saying to us as we study the word, as we put this armor on. In order for this armor to become effective, we have to understand what it is all about. We have to understand what faith is. We have to understand what salvation is. We have to understand what it is to live and lead a righteous life. And how do we understand all that? Through his word. We talked about the Holy Spirit a little bit in class this morning. We receive the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. He doesn't put words in our mouth. He doesn't do things, you know, miraculous things to us, but he gets us to the point where we can understand what we need to do. The Holy Spirit will open up the Bible to us. It will open up what we study. That's why sometimes when you're studying, you'll think, wow, I didn't know it meant that. Something else has opened up. And that's the Holy Spirit working through us. So, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do to understand. That's what we need to do to put on this whole armor. Now, Above all, taking the shield of faith, for which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what does it say in verse 18? Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You have to talk to God. We need to pray. And we need to pray. We need to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Okay? So now you got all this armor on. How are you going to keep it? How do you get to the point where your faith is rocked and all of a sudden you lose your shield? Now what's going to happen? Now you've lost part of your armor. That's not going to work out well. So we need to be in continual contact with God. We need to know who God is. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to have an open communication that we have no problem saying, God, thank you. Or God, you know, can you help me through an understanding here? I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. And that's what we need to do. Otherwise, you're going to lose part of your protection. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful in the end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What's his perseverance? It means that we have to be able to withstand. It means that we need to be able to steadfastly stand on our two feet, on God's word. We need to be able to persevere. We need to be able to say, okay, that's okay. It's a little rough right now, but I'll get through this. And how am I going to get through this? I'm going to get through this through all prayer and supplication through the Spirit, with the Spirit. That's how I'm going to get through all this. And I got faith, and I've got this whole armor on, and God isn't going to let me anything get to me. We're going to have some hard times. We're going to have some ups and downs. That's okay. We understand that. We know that. But in the end, if you keep all your protection on, you'll win out. In the end, as Paul said up there, you'll be able to withstand an evil day because you've done all. But if we start sliding a little bit, if we start losing faith, if we start not studying, if we start not taking and opening up God's word, then you start to lose part of your protection, and you're losing part of your protection, that part of you becomes vulnerable. That part of you becomes to a point where you might not be able to persevere. You might not be able to get through to the end. So we have to be careful as to what we do and how we walk. And then Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul says that because of all this, he's able to preach. He can speak boldly about Jesus. He can speak boldly about God. He can speak boldly about the written word. And through that utterance, he can teach others. Verse 20 goes on to say, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, there's different thoughts about what this means when Paul says he's in chains. And there's different thoughts when it says that Paul says he is a prisoner. We know that he was under house arrest. We know that he was in prison in the latter stages of his life, in real prisons. But some of what he talks about has been related to being in chains or being in prison is his involvement with God's word. He won't let himself go anywhere else. He won't let himself do anything else. He became imprisoned with God's word. He was chained to God's word. Now, I don't know. I've studied this out, and I don't know whether it's that way or the other way, but either way makes sense to me. Because if we're going to do what Paul's saying here and put on this full armor of God, do we not basically have to be chained to God's word? Do we not basically have to be imprisoned with God's word so that we don't get away from it, so that we don't get sidetracked and get off somewhere on a road going some other direction? Do we not need to be there in that kind of a position? I think we do, because we get distracted. And when we get distracted, we start losing part of our armor. When we start losing part of our armor, we can't persevere the storms that are going to hit us. That's what all this armor is about. Paul says, for me, that utterance was given to me that I might be able to open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's those of us that proclaim God's word. That's Christians. As you go to teach a neighbor, as you teach a coworker, you're able to utter that word of God. You're able to stand on that word of God. You're able to speak boldly about that word of God, because you now have this full armor. You now have the breastplate and the sword and the shield and the helmet and the shoes, because you've got the right faith. You've studied God's word. You've opened it up. You believed what you studied. You obeyed God. You went into a watery grave. Your salvation is intact. That's what this full armor of God is all about. You need the Bible. You need faith. You need perseverance. You need to know and understand what you're reading. And you need to be obedient to it. That's the simplicity of the full armor of God. Now, if you've got all that, what Preston's teaching, you're going to be able to withstand. And that's the things that are going to hit you in the evil day that Paul talks about up in a previous verse. Now, Paul goes on in verse 21. He says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. Okay, so he's sending a messenger to Timothy, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That was the end of the letter to the church at Ephesus that Paul wrote. Do we have that full armor of God on? I don't know, myself, I'll talk about me. I don't know if anywhere at the end of my life if I'm going to have that full armor. Because every time I open the Bible and every time I study, every time I put a sermon together, put a class together, I learn more about what that particular section that I'm going to talk about has to say. The more I learn, the better my protection becomes. The easier it's going to be for me to persevere. The easier it is to weather the storms of life, if you will, and be able to get through them. We've all got things going on in our lives. I use that word all. It's all inclusive. If you don't have something going on, if you don't have something bothering you, I want to talk to you because I want to know how you do that. Because we've all got issues. We've all got things going on. We've all got things that bother us. But what I'm saying tonight, what Paul's saying here, is you can't let those get to you to where you lose your protection. We talked about all this protection we got out in life. It's all good. But none of it's fail-proof. We talk about the protection that God's talking about, that Paul talks about here. That is fail-proof. It will get you through. You will not lose. So if you don't have that full protection, get in here, study this a little more if you want to. See exactly what you need to do to become the person that God wants you to be. It's fail-proof. God will protect you. The lesson is yours. I would highly advise and ask that you attend Preston's class. You need to be there. If there's anyone here this evening that has not been baptized, the water is ready. The time is right. If you've heard the gospel, you believe the gospel, you're willing to repent of your sins, you're willing to put on your Lord in baptism, you're willing to confess him as the Son of God, that needs to be done. We also have an opportunity right now that if you do have things in your life that you need help with, there's times where you can't do it on your own. I don't care how much you try. Been there, done that. You need to ask for help in your spiritual life. You need to to have someone pray for you. You need to have someone put their arms around you and say, everything's going to be okay. Let's talk to God about this. That's what we're here for. We're a family. We're a congregation of God's people. And we should be here. We are here for each other. So if you got anything going on, let it be known as we stand and sing the invitation song.